The game is over. Your Bucks postgame show starts now. Welcome to Bucks Talk. Insight, analysis, and your chance to sound off on the game you just heard. Now to break it all down, here's your host, Justin Garcia.
A much different story from Thursday night as Dame was dominant against the 76ers, leading the way. 39 points, that set a Bucks record for most points scored in a team debut, and he saved some of his best for last. 14 of those 39 came in the fourth. That included the final 11 points the Bucks scored in the game. That was the good, and the inverse we saw tonight. One of the questions you heard to Adrian Griffin was whether or not he thought Dame may have had his legs under him yet. As you know, I mentioned this on the network portion of the postgame show, it's been a very, very interesting offseason, to say the least, for Damian Lillard. Some reports came out about what his status was towards the end of the season with the Portland Trail Blazers. He was shut down. We were told it was for injury purposes. The reports may have stated otherwise, and the Blazers trying to inflate their chances at the number one pick. But that all goes into what these last few months have been for Damian Lillard. Didn't play down the stretch there. Didn't get a chance to do quite as much as he typically does in an offseason because of all that ambiguity on what his future was and who that would be with in the offseason. And now all of a sudden he's thrust into things with a new team. One, you could say, he did not expect to be with. But with an offseason program that was unlike anything he had gone through previously. So there will be ups and downs. And that's one of the things we really try to convey, not only in the broadcast, but leading up to this as well, is it's easy to get excited here over Damian Lillard, and rightfully so. He brings that intrigue to this team. He brings a closer to this team. But this is a team that is largely new. And I keep going back to 2021 when the Bucks did win a championship. But that season at the time was unlike anything we had seen in quite some time. The Bucks carried 14 players on the roster. 7 of them were new. And I remember trying to make this point in 2021, trying to get this across as best I could. It's not just player X, whoever the new player is, has to learn a new team. Has to learn a new system. Bobby Portis was the biggest example we used that season. Bobby Portis was one of your new guys. It's not just Bobby learning the new system and new team. It's everyone. It's Brook Lopez that needed to learn, okay, here's where Bobby Portis likes to get the ball. Here's what I can do when Bobby Portis is on the floor and we're playing together. Same for Giannis. Same went for Drew Holiday, who was new that season as well. Same went for Chris Middleton. The new players, they have things they need to learn. Everybody remaining has to learn each of their those new players and those tendencies of theirs. Now, you carry over into this season, Dame Lillard is new. Malik Beasley is new. Those are two of your starters on this team. New players. Campaign, we haven't seen a lot of. Fouls have been a reason for that. Campaign's another one of those new faces. Young players you're giving some more time to, and we think asking more of. There's a lot that's new with this team. And when one of those pieces shoulders as much as Damian Lillard does, it is going to take time. And if we think back to 2021, it wasn't overnight. It took some time. It took a couple months for this team to really start to put things in place. It wasn't until Drew Holiday hit that game winner against the Memphis Grizzlies going into the All-Star break. That was the stretch where it really started to feel like, okay, this team is starting to find that consistency and it seems like they're starting to turn the corner. I'm not suggesting it's going to take 3 months or be a, hey, it's not going to be until the second half of the season. It may. Maybe a month. Maybe a week. Who knows? But it's going to take some time for this team to really find that consistency and start to become a version of the team that we think we're going to see headed into the postseason and hopefully deep into the postseason. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. And let's kick things off with our old friend Dick in Port Washington joining us tonight on the show. How's it going, Dick?
Pretty good. You know, tonight was a blip. It's going to take like 20 games. You know, you don't take an oil and vinegar dressing and just dump it on. You got to shake it around a long time before it really is good for the salad. And I think that's what's happening here. What I do want to talk about is the in-season tournament.
Yeah.
So what is your take on that? You in favor of that?
I don't think it's going to hurt anything. And it was one of the questions that there was a couple of national guys that were in town Thursday to cover the season opener. And we heard that asked to both coaches of, you know, what are your thoughts on the tournament? Adrian Griffin said, hey, they give out a trophy for it. We're playing to win. And for Nick Nurse, it was kind of a similar answer. He kind of leaned on some of the experience that he has coaching all over the place and coaching internationally. He coached in Europe. And said, you know, this is a lot like what we do overseas, and certainly they borrowed a lot of this from what you see in international soccer. But I think you're going to see teams playing to win it because, number one, it's new. You get a trophy. It may not mean much to your Dame Lillards and your Giannis's, but there is a financial incentive as well. And if you're one of those players that's on a veteran's minimum or you're on a rookie contract, it's a decent amount of money that you're going to be making if you win that. But also, I think, not to to turn this into a conspiracy theory hour, but I do think the league has stressed the importance of this and playing to win this to their teams as well with a new TV contract on the horizon. And this is going to become an annual thing. And in doing so, this is going to become a big piece of that TV contract. So I think the league has stressed, look, this should be important to you because it is important to us. And by the way, that in-season tournament begins Friday already for the Bucks when the New York Knicks come to town. So the way it works, and with this coming up on Friday, we can get into it a little bit more in the next two editions of Bucks Talk. We have tomorrow night and Wednesday night. Tomorrow night, the Miami Heat in town. Wednesday night, the Bucks with their first road game of the season in Toronto against the Raptors. But if you're unfamiliar with it, we can go over the details of it in just a moment here on the show because it starts on Friday. And this is going to be played throughout the month of November where you have your group play games, it'll move on to the knockout rounds, and then the semifinals and finals will be played at T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas in early December. We'll get to the schedule for the Bucks. The first of those games, as I mentioned, is on Friday with the New York Knicks coming to town. So you're placed into pods. The Knicks are one of those teams in the Bucks pod. Dick, you have any follow-ups on that?
Yeah, I do. I don't get it. First of all, yeah, this is a follow-up to what soccer does in Europe. And why do we want to take a lead of a sport that in their most prestigious game, a championship game, if it's tied, we have a shootout? So are we going to go to that and have a free throw contest or a three-point contest in the NBA? I don't get it. For the casual fan, you're not going to draw them in with this tournament. They think the season's too long, that there's no defense, blah, blah, blah. I mean, I'm a huge NBA fan, as you know, but this isn't going to help. And I don't know where the benefit is. This year, revenue's not going to change for the league. There's only one extra game played where revenue's going to increase, and that's a championship game. So that one doesn't count in the standings. All the other ones do. And what's the incentive? What's the incentive to win this thing? Who cares? It all goes down to what happens in June. And first of all, you know, why are they, if they're going to have it, why have it in November? Why not February where things are, you know, you got the Super Bowl going on, you need to have something drummed up. Everyone's kind of psyched to go to games now. I just don't get it. The TV contract, I guess, I'm old-fashioned on this, but how is this going to draw new fans in? Who cares? And you're telling me that if the Bucks are in this thing and we're going to have to play Chris in this tournament game in Las Vegas, Why would we want to do that? Where's the incentive?
All right. A lot of points that you bring up that I do want to get to, but we got to step aside for a break here. I anticipated getting into the in-season tournament at some point this week because it starts on Friday, but Dick brings up some points, and I think there's still a lot of ambiguity for a lot of fans that maybe are unsure of how this works, what it means, even the fact that it starts on Friday. So we'll address some of those points that Dick brought up, and I know Dick isn't a fan of this, but are you a fan of the in-season tournament? We do want to get to some of the aspects from tonight's game as well. Again, not a whole lot of positives, but there were some takeaways that I had from what we saw over the course of these 48 minutes. So we'll get to those takeaways and some more on the in-season tournament after this. You're listening to Bucks Talk.
Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
Tough one tonight for the Bucks, who fall to the Atlanta Hawks, 127-110 inside of Fiserv Forum. And as I mentioned, you're right back at it tomorrow night with the Miami Heat here in Milwaukee. So I do want to get to some takeaways from tonight's game, but we heard from Dick before the break, and a lot of chatter about the in-season tournament, which it starts on Friday. So the way this works is, in the East and West, you have pods, and we are going to go from group play to a knockout play. Each team is in a pod of five teams, so you have three in each conference, the East and West. The Bucks grouping is the New York Knicks, the Miami Heat, the Washington Wizards, and the Charlotte Hornets. So the winner of each group advances, and then a wild card team, essentially. The team with the best record or points, how this is determined, in that conference. That's your fourth team. So each conference will get four teams to advance. The Bucks are going to be the favorites to come out of their group, the B group in the East. The Celtics are the favorites to come out of theirs. Theirs is group C. That's the Celtics, the Brooklyn Nets, the Toronto Raptors, the Chicago Bulls, and the Orlando Magic. The other remaining group features one team we saw tonight, the Atlanta Hawks, one team we saw on opening night, the Philadelphia 76ers, and then you have the Detroit Pistons, the Indiana Pacers, and the Cleveland Cavaliers. So let's address these one by one. Why will fans care? I think fans will care because teams are going to play to win this. Now, it's not a conspiracy theory per se, but I think it has been strongly indicated, look, this is important to the league. And whatever is important to the league is important to the individual teams in the league. And if you need me to remind you that, me being Adam Silver, the commissioner of the league, I will, but this is important to us, therefore it is important to you. The revenue that would come from this. So Dick mentioned only the two teams that will play in the championship game are going to play an extra game this season. So those two teams will play an 83rd game. The revenue isn't from that game, per se. And remember, the semifinals and the finals are played in Vegas at T-Mobile Arena. So you're not even getting gate revenue. The revenue is going to come from how well this performs and what that means for the TV rights deal. That is being negotiated as we speak. This in-season tournament is a big piece of it. Of maybe you've had TV networks pushing back of, look, we love the product, we love the NBA playoffs, brings a lot of intrigue, the off-season adds that intrigue. But we see attention wane during the regular season. You got the Major League Baseball playoffs and World Series going on right at the start of your season. You have the NFL season going on right at the start of your season. And then the Super Bowl is now, with the 17th game, going to be played right as you're going into your All-Star break. So we see a little bit of a tension drop off early in the season. Like, what can you do to spice this up? This is a part of it. The player participation policy is also a part of it, where you cannot rest multiple players who are all-stars, all-NBA players, on the same night. And you also can't do it when you're on the road. So the league is going to these steps to say, look, we recognize, we've heard the complaints, that a regular season may not be like a regular season in the NFL. May not be like a regular season in the NHL, where we're seeing more and more instances of, if you're coming to the stadium, you're coming to the arena to watch this team, and you don't see this guy. We're trying to address that. And I mentioned Thursday, quite a few members of the national media were in town to not only cover the debut of Damian Lillard, but you had a lot of minor subplots here. You had these two teams, in the Bucks and the Miami Heat, the Bucks and the 76ers, who have kind of been linked together as rivals that aren't really rivals. They've never faced off in the playoffs. We've always seen these seemingly epic games and encounters between Giannis and Joel Embiid. They've been linked in that you look back at draft night. 2014. 76ers get Joel Embiid with the third pick because the Bucks took Jabari Parker with the second pick. We've heard comments about the process, first from the 76ers, then from the Bucks. So these two teams have always kind of been the rivals that weren't really rivals. That was a subplot. Adrian Griffin as the new coach of the Bucks versus Nick Nurse as the new coach of the 76ers. That, two new coaches, subplot. The fact that Adrian Griffin, last coach under Nick Nurse, made it interesting as well. But also, you're not only here to cover that, you're here, you're in any arena, to say, okay, here's the season. Let's hear how these coaches and players feel about the in-season tournament. And I told you Adrian Griffin said, and look, to be clear, I don't think it was lip service. You know, I think we've heard enough from Adrian Griffin to kind of take him at his word in what he said. But Adrian Griffin said, they give out a trophy? Yeah, well then we're playing to win the trophy. Nick Nurse talking about international soccer. But the other thing Nick Nurse said, which is where I think the most intrigue will come, and you can say, well, why are you doing this so early in the season? I think that's why they stopped calling it the mid-season tournament and noted it as the in-season tournament. But this is where, the reason why it's this early, in December, this is where that network of ESPN wanted that inventory of, we see college football start to drop off a little bit, now you're getting ready for bowl games and the playoffs. We want these here, sprinkled throughout November and then a culmination in early December. The one thing Nick Nurse said that at the time you thought, man, I didn't think of that, but yes, that's accurate, is, look, the reason why I think fans are going to be invested in this is because you get knockout basketball at the NBA level. We all love the NCAA tournament and how great it is, and this Nick Nurse saying this too. I'll speak for all of us and say I do, but Nick Nurse said, hey, we all love the NCAA tournament. That's great. You kind of get the same thing at the NBA level. Think about single elimination play with a Giannis, with a Joel Embiid, with a Dame Lillard, with a LeBron James, with a Nikola Jokic. That's what you're getting. And the way the league has set this up, I gave you those pods in the Eastern Conference. So you look at that, and I think coming into the season, you thought, okay, well, if the 76ers win their group, if the Celtics win their group, if the Bucks win their group, if the wild card is, let's say, the Knicks, those are our four teams in the quarterfinals for the Eastern Conference, the Sixers, the Bucks, the Celtics, and the Knicks, and they're playing single elimination style basketball. Who isn't interested in that? In the West, let's say it's the Suns, the Nuggets, the Warriors, and the Lakers. And same thing. And it actually carries stakes where, look, this is a regular season game, sure. The stats count there, the record counts in the standings. But this is also part of a tournament. Players are competitive. That brings out the best in them, and that comes across in the product. That's where the interest is going to lie. I get why maybe you haven't read up on this. Maybe you were unsure and unaware that this started as early as Friday. And you think the same way of, why are we doing this? I don't see the intrigue in this. I get that, and I assume that is a majority of fans. Especially if you are just a casual fan, and that's not me taking a knock at you. If you are just a casual fan of the league, you probably think, well, why bother? Once this starts, and we get to the knockout rounds, you are going to be interested. when you see basically the competition level of playoff basketball being played in early December, it is going to carry a lot of interest. So for me, I am fully on board with it. I was skeptical at first, but when you look at these groupings of teams and you see what the league is trying to do here, I think it is going to be something that carries a lot of interest within fans. And the other thing I'll point out is this. I think most of us like the in-season tournament. However, most people in Milwaukee probably don't. Not the in-season tournament, the play-in tournament. Maybe Milwaukee and Bucks fans don't after last year. But that has become more and more popular in the couple of years we've seen it. Remember, it started in the bubble, and that was, you got to be within five games. It took on some changes. That first year, it was just 8 versus 9. The winner gets the 8 seed. Now we've seen it expand to 7 through 10. And the league loves it because they can tout, look, the team that made the finals last year, one of the teams that made the finals, came from the play-in tournament. We've had play-in tournament teams win a first-round series. This is a success. They have tinkered with it and made it better. What we see this year for the in-season tournament, I'm not convinced it's what we see next year. Maybe there's more stakes. Maybe there's more money. Maybe they change the format a little bit. But this is just the league dipping their toe in the water. I do think, if you're a skeptic, by the time this concludes, at the very least, you're going to say, well, it wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. And next year, it'll be even better. So that's my take on the in-season tournament. It starts Friday. The Bucks and the Knicks. And again, those teams in the Bucks pod, the Knicks, the Heat, the Washington Wizards, and the Charlotte Hornets. So you'll have those four games against those teams. Team with the best record in those games from that group wins their group. And then the wild card of any team from the other two pods, or those three pods in your conference with the second best record, is who will make up the fourth. And it gets going here Friday night at Fiserv Forum between the Bucks and the Knicks. That's the in-season tournament talk. When we do come back, I do want to get to some of the silver linings from tonight, because there were a few. Disappointed to lose by 17 to the Atlanta Hawks. Not totally unexpected, but it did have some silver linings. We'll tell you what they are next on Bucks Talk.
The Round Ball Repartee returns. This is Bucks Talk.
By the way, we've been calling it the in-season tournament. It is officially the NBA Cup. And I mentioned things are going to change with it next year, I presume. One of those things, I wouldn't be shocked if the name of it is changed, if you name the cup after someone. But there will be an MVP of the NBA Cup, and there are financial components as well. The players on the winning team each get $500,000. And you may say, well, if you're making $60 million a year, what does $500,000 mean? Sure, it doesn't carry quite as much value, but if you're a rookie on that team, if you're on a veteran's minimum, then it means a lot. Players on the winning team each get $500,000. Runner-up, players on the runner-up team get $200,000. The players on the team that loses in the semifinals will each get $100,000. And if you're on the team that loses in the quarterfinals, you each get $50,000. So the league is shelling out money and saying, we want you to play to win this. Right now, there's no impact on the playoffs. I've seen a number of theories kicked around. Can you add an extra home game? Can you say whoever wins this tournament is guaranteed a playoff spot? Things like that. They're not doing any of that yet, but who knows? That could be something we see change coming in. But this is going to be played throughout the month of November. So this upcoming Friday is when our first stage of group play begins. The following Friday, November 10th, you will have more of the same. Bucks don't play that night, by the way, so they will not have a game that night. But November 14th is when this group play resumes. November 17th, another Friday, the Bucks will face the Charlotte Hornets then. And November 21st, November 24th, Tuesday, November 28th is the final of those group play games. And that's when the Bucks will take on the Miami Heat. That is a national game on TNT. So November 28th is the last of the NBA Cup games before we advance into December, and that's when quarterfinal, semifinal, and final games begin. 17-point loss tonight for the Bucks. There were some positives. One of them is the efficiency of Giannis. We did see that, specifically at the free throw line. As after the struggles we saw Thursday, Giannis went 8 of 10 tonight. And overall, as I mentioned, the efficiency, 9 of 14 from the floor. That was the good. Now, there were moments kind of hand-in-hand with, look, it's going to be a learning curve. There's going to be ups and downs with this team until they develop that chemistry and really get to that level that, for all intents and purposes, you were at for the last 5 years. Because the overall core of this group changed. 2021 was a lot of change. But the core of this group remained the same. Giannis, Chris Middleton, Brooke Lopez. Towards the back half of that stretch, Bobby Portis. Pat Connaughton as well in the early portion. Mike Budenholzer, the staff. That all remained consistent. And that made the Bucks one of the best regular season teams. It's going to take some time to get back to that because of all the change. And Thursday night, we saw what seemed like a lot of confusion from some of the Bucks' bigs and Brooke Lopez especially. This is a different system. Tonight we saw some more of that. I think we saw some offensively as well. And we touched on a part of that leading up to the season. But one of the confusion almost, but just growing pains that we saw tonight offensively came from Giannis. I'll tell you what it is after this on Bucks Talk.
This is Bucks Talk.
All right, so one of those growing pains that involved Giannis, and this isn't to single him out, and he wasn't the only one that we saw this from. This is going to be a team-wide thing, and it's who knows what it's going to be. There is no secret sauce or magic number for it takes X amount of games to develop chemistry. But it's going to take time. It could be 20 games. It could be 30 games. Could be 40 games. If it goes past half of the season, I mean, then maybe there's larger issues. But it's going to take time. So there were a couple of instances where you saw the play start to develop. And you could see he's got a guy there. A couple of times it was Dame Lillard. In the second half, we saw quite a bit with Malik Beasley. But I think all of these guys, the struggle is going to be, this is how we did things in the past, and breaking your brain and knowing, well, this is how it's going to work under Griff. And we've touched on the defense. And again, it's not to single out Brooke Lopez, but Thursday night against the Sixers, there's a couple of instances. Chris Middleton pointing out and communicating with Brooke, no, here, get down here, you're supposed to be here. Patrick Mutombo, one of the assistant coaches, we saw get up off the bench and do the same thing of pointing out to Brooke Lopez, this is your spot. Come down here. Get over there. And for Brooke, it's drastically different from where he was under Bud and how he played there. We think about the defense, and you think, well, offensively, can't change that much. You're still trying to score the basketball. But there are changes. And I think with Giannis especially, for how much he has the ball in his hands, you get used to, well, here's how I attacked in the past. Here's how we performed in the past. Think about how many times the last 2 or 3 years we used dunker spot. You've already picked up on this season, if you've been watching the games too, you've already picked up on, we looked at the dunker spot the last couple of years of let's put guys down there to get an easy basket. It's been the free throw line 2 games into the season where you've seen guys flashing to. Brooke Lopez has done it quite a bit. We didn't see a whole lot of movement tonight. We did on Thursday, and I think that was really the eye-popping part was, man, I don't know if we saw this much movement offensively except for early into the switchover from Jason Kidd to Mike Budenholzer. But there's a couple of instances where Giannis, it seemed like, was just stuck in the here's how we always did things and didn't wait for the play to develop or wasn't looking as it developed and missed some open shooters. These are all things. Film study will start to clean up, but more reps will clean that up, and that becomes second nature. Now, in terms of more positives, one of the things that really struck me, we did see foul trouble from Cameron Payne once again. We also saw it from Marjan Bochamp, who picked up three very, very early fouls. But Adrian Griffin let him play through it. And look, this isn't a let's pile on the previous coach type of thing. But I do think what we saw tonight with Marjan playing with three fouls early, with Marjan taking the assignment when he was on the floor of Trae Young, with Andre Jackson getting some of those reps as well, I don't know that you see those in the past. And I think this is a good thing to get those guys those minutes because this team is going to advance. Dame is important. Giannis is important. Chris Middleton's health is very important. Brooke is important, right? Developing those young guys is extremely important. And for all the talk of, well, could you really trust player X, Marjan, whoever the young player is, in the playoffs? They didn't get those reps in the regular season. That's true. But how do you combat that? Get them those reps in the regular season. And for Marjan Bochamp to get some of that experience defending the Trae Young, just as he did Thursday against Tyrese Maxey. For Andre Jackson Jr. to get thrown out there in the spots. But also for Marjan Bochamp to know, I made the mistake. My coach trusts me to work through this. And trusts, I'm not going to pick up my fourth foul in 30 seconds here. That's important as well. Not only for Marjan's confidence, but for getting him that game experience. So that, to me, was the biggest silver lining in the 17-point loss. Not just the Giannis free throws, but seeing the trust and the confidence in those young guys and saying, let's get them those reps and get them those minutes. That was important to see, despite the result of tonight's game. We'll wrap up the show, take a look at tomorrow night's opponent, the Miami Heat, after this on Bucks Talk.
Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
Disappointing result tonight as the Bucks suffer defeat for the first time this season. And I think it's going to be fun tomorrow. It is certainly going to be interesting tomorrow night when the Miami Heat come to town. The first time we have seen Miami since they unceremoniously ended the Bucks season in the spring. And it's going to be a motivated Miami Heat team. Look, it's a regular season, and it's not even November yet. But you have a Heat team that's had a very, very difficult draw to open up the season, number one. But do you think Miami does not want to send a message of, we don't care that you got Dame Lillard. We ended your season last year. We ended your season in the bubble. We think we are better than you and have been. And same for the Bucks. It's not the Bucks seeking revenge, per se, because it's a new coach. Drew Holiday is gone. But there's something there, especially for guys like Giannis and Chris and Brooke that have gone through these battles against the Heat. There's some added motivation there. And for Damian Lillard, too. You thought that was where you were going to be in all likelihood, and now you're here in Milwaukee, and you kind of want to show the Miami Heat, look, this is what you're missing. So I think it's going to be fun tomorrow night with the Bucks and the Miami Heat. And it's a Heat team that had the night off tonight, so they will be rested. And basically the same team. There's been some minor changes. Gabe Vincent is gone. Max Strus is gone. Victor Oladipo was gone in the playoffs, but he's gone. And a couple of young guys that are in there now in that rotation for the Miami Heat. But most of the faces have not changed in Miami. So Bucks need to bounce back after this performance tonight. And it carries even more intrigue facing the opponent that they have. 127-110. Our final score tonight, and just incredible that the Bucks are able to get up to 110, 63 points in the second half after the offense struggled as long as it did. 7 o'clock tip-off tomorrow night from Fiserv Forum for the Bucks and the Miami Heat. Our pregame coverage starts at 6:30. And as always, stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. My thanks to everybody for joining us tonight and Evan Tallison for producing the show. We will talk to you tomorrow night with more Bucks Talk.